Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
That verse, and he wrote a letter after this manner. That word manner, the Greek word for manner, is tupos. So still, we can see the print of the nails in his hand in Paul, and should be seen in us after the same pattern that we've just gone through. Now, there's another use of the word tupos. It shows us that we should follow Christ. It shows us the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this is a Greek word, so you'll find it in the New Testament. But it's a Greek word in the New Testament that speaks about the Old Testament. It refers to the Old Testament. Now, as believers, we're directed to live our lives according to Christ. But if you look in the Old Testament, you will find also Christ in the Old Testament. But he wasn't born nor living in the time of Moses. He was pre-existent. He was always present. But he was not living on the earth. But we find not the actual physical presence of Christ, but we find the shadow of Christ. The shadow of Christ. Let's go back to the chalkboard. We've got a timeline. Okay? This is the zero mark, and this is, let's call that 100%. This is the day of creation. And God said, let there be light. And if you draw all the events of the Bible, all the different books of the Bible, chapters, you line everything up right, you've got Moses over here. You know, right before that, you've got Abraham. You've got the time of David. You've got Solomon. You've got when they were chased off and carried off into Babylon, and when they came back, you've got the 400 years when there was no prophet. But then you've got Christ. And right here in the middle, that's the dividing line. Christ came here. And then you've got, of course, his ministry. He was born. He lived his life. He did all of these miracles. He died. He rose again. And then you've got the Apostle Paul. And then you've got some of the saints who lived all through the centuries, the 2,000 years. And we've got us today. And we're getting up close to the end. But you see, we have a timeline. But if we're here, almost at the end of time, do we look forward to Christ's coming? No, we look back in time. We look backwards to the cross. Abraham was wandering around in the desert. God said, get out of your country, leave your people, and go to the place I'll show you. And he wandered around looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, which hath foundations, it said. He was looking for Christ. He was looking for the New Jerusalem, though he didn't understand it. But he looked forward to Christ. Moses looked forward to Christ. But the focal point is Jesus Christ. We look back. They look forward. But the focal point, the whole point of the Bible, the whole focus of the entirety of human history before and the little bit yet to come points to Calvary. I remember reading in the book of Revelation, we're going to be here for tens and millions and billions and trillions of years, singing about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the good things He's done for us, praising Him, worshiping Him. Forever, we're going to be singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, talking about Thou art worthy because Thou wast slain. You see, it's forever, from forever, 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 as far forward as we can go. We're still going to be talking about the day when He walked the shores of Galilee. We're still going to be talking about when He healed the lepers. We're still going to be talking about when He said, woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We're still going to be talking about when He hung and died, was in the grave 3 days and rose up again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's the focal point of the Bible, is the life and the death of Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, we find a shadow of Christ. Now, Abraham, for example, he didn't understand all that much about the Messiah. He didn't know. He didn't know about the healing of the sick. He didn't know about the feeding of the 5,000. He didn't know. But if you look at his life, you will find evidence of Christ. Let's take when he sacrificed his son Isaac. God said, take your son, take some sticks, and go where I show you. Go to that mountain over there, Mount Moriah. They went 3 days journey. They went up the mountain. Abraham took his son, tied him up with ropes, put him on the sticks. Took his knife in his hand, and the knife was fixing to come down. And God said, Abraham, Abraham, stop! Don't kill your son, because I see that you trust me. Now look over there in the bush, you've got a ram caught in the thicket. Take that and sacrifice that instead. Now that boy, Isaac, was as good as dead. Only by the hand of God, or rather the voice of God speaking, stayed Abraham's hand, taking the knife, plunging it in, or slitting his throat, or whatever the case was. That is a perfect picture. That is a type, a foreshadowing of God sending His own Son. And He died. And just as that boy was laying on that wood, as good as dead, he got up alive and went back down the mountain. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. He was dead. But hallelujah, He's alive again. He's alive again. And that was a perfect picture. A perfect picture of Jesus who would, as the Son of God, be sacrificed. And of course, there was the ram in the thicket, which, in other words, God was saying, that is a picture. Abraham sacrificing his son, almost, was a picture. But there is one coming that will yet be the final sacrifice. The ram in the thicket was saying, yes, Abraham, you did great. That is a picture of what I'll do. But there's one that I provided. And you can read what Abraham says, that God will provide himself a lamb. Well, we just talked just a bit ago about that somebody asked a question about the Trinity. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, God did indeed provide himself for them. He sent himself. One of the members of the Trinity came, God himself, and died. Hallelujah. So just as we can read living epistles today in the lives of believers, you can look in the Old Testament and find the shadow of Christ, and you can read yet about what Christ did in the lives in the events, in the things that happened in the Old Testament. Now, as far as I know, most of us here, we believe that man has a free will. We would say that we're Arminian in doctrine. There's the other side of the coin. There are those that believe in the sovereignty of God, and they are the Calvinists. And sometimes we don't understand. And sometimes people get bent out of shape. Well, does God have complete sovereignty? Does man have a free will? Well, as we study carefully the Old Testament, and in particular the types, the shadows of Christ, we will see that, yes, man has a free will. God says, do this. Many times, man says, no, I won't. But still, God's purposes are still carried out.
Yes.
Take a look at Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I ain't. He went the other way. I bet Jonah never thought that while he was in the belly of that great fish, he was doing the will of God. No, he disobeyed. He said, no, I won't do the will of God. But God had a plan in all of that. And even through his disobedience, God had his perfect way. Because being in the belly of that fish for 3 days and then being spit out again on dry land, that is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was disobedient and ignorant of what God was trying to do, he still gave us a wonderful shadow, a wonderful picture in advance, a foreshadowing of the wonderful thing that God would do to redeem man. So we might butt heads about, is God sovereign or does man have a free will? Well, God has a greater plan. And even when man will willfully do the wrong thing, God is omnipotent, and God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. And we can see these things in the types. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. We've got about 15 minutes left. Let's see how much we can get done. Romans chapter 5. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure, tupas, of him that was to come. Now, we're running short of time. I won't explain a lot, but we will study in the next lesson about Adam and Christ. And I believe it's Paul says that there was the first Adam and the last Adam. And again, I don't have time to explain. But what God is saying here, that Adam being a type of Christ, is an example. There are many, many, many different types. Most of the people in the Bible, in one fashion or another, showed the glory of the Lord. Not all were types. Some of them gave prophecies. But every jot and tittle, Jesus said, means something. And none of it would pass away until it's all fulfilled. If it's all fulfilled, and Christ is the one to fulfill it, then every jot and tittle, every person, every act, every word recorded in Scripture points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that this verse right here, talking about Adam being a symbol, a type of him that was to come, who is the type of him that was to come. Remember, a type is a foreshadowing of the one that was to come. I shouldn't have said symbol. It's not a symbol. A symbol is different. Perhaps next class will give the difference between types and symbols. But there are quite a number of types that foreshadow him that is or was to come. Let's look at Acts chapter 7 Acts chapter 7, verse 44. Now this is Stephen. Stephen is giving his defense. And as you know, Stephen was killed for his testimony of Christ. He was killed by the same people that crucified the Lord. And as a matter of fact, he stuck his finger in their face and said, "You killed him." But again, just as we said just a second ago, God had a purpose. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You meant it for evil, you bunch of serpents, the members of the Sanhedrin, Pharisees. But God had a purpose that Christ would be able to offer forgiveness for all men. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion, the tupas, that he had seen. Now, again, we will get into this in just a couple of lessons from now about the tabernacle of Moses. But what God is saying here, that if you look in the tabernacle, you will find Christ. You will find Christ. You will find the Lord Jesus Christ. Every facet of the Lord, every portion of his ministry, you will find in a picture in the tabernacle of Moses. Now, I'll be able to give 1 week, one lesson to the tabernacle. And it's really something that you can't do in 1 week. That's left to others, to perhaps another class, another instructor, to give more understanding. But I will hit the high points. And we will see that Christ is indeed very, very evident in type in the tabernacle of Moses. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 1. Now, for time's sake, I'm just going to have to hit the high points. And the text of this is in the notes. And I'm not going to read everything here, but what he said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." And he goes and gives a list of all the things that happened during the time of Moses. And he talks about, in verse 4, the rock that when the children of Israel were 3 days out of the land of Egypt, and they were thirsty, and he said, "Moses, we're thirsty. Did you bring us out here to kill us from thirst? Give us some water." God said to Moses, "Take your staff, your shepherd's staff, go over to that big rock and smack it once." And he did that. And water began to gush out of that rock. And it satisfied 3.5 million people. They had enough water to drink. Paul said that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And it says, "Now these things were written for our examples, that we should not lust after evil things." There's that theme again, that God deals with our heart. We've got some examples from the Old Testament, some types where we see Christ, that we can read these things and God will deal with our hearts. We have an example. And he says it again, almost the very same thing. I think it's verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples." Matter of fact, he says the whole thing twice. All of these people did these things, they pointed to Christ, and we need to follow that example. In this just a few verses, I think it's 12 verses in all the passages, he says it twice. Not just once, but twice to get your attention. All of the things in the Old Testament pointed to Christ, to get your heart right. Now follow after that example. Now what he is saying here is that the Old Testament points to Christ. That's the third use of the word tupas. The first use was that he had the print of the nails in his hand. And of course the second use we talked about, and if you line them up that way, in chronologically speaking, the Old Testament pointed to him. He came and died And then now, as believers in the new covenant, we should live just like he lived and die just like he died, according to the same pattern. You see that all of the Bible comes together. It all meshes. And God wrote it that way, and both parts, old and new, fit together perfectly to give us everything we need to know about the kingdom of God. Now let's take one more look at the testimony of Stephen when he told us about the tabernacle of Moses. Moses went up on the Mount Sinai, and God showed him a vision of the tabernacle. Now God's in heaven, and God revealed it to him here on earth. And he came down from the mountain and he built the tabernacle according to the pattern that God from heaven had shown him. Now, today, as believers in Christ, we pattern our lives after the Christ that came down from heaven. You see the parallel there? So that the tabernacle of Moses, that pattern, that tuphos, which came from heaven, we follow that same blueprint, that same pattern today as we live for the Lord. And both testaments go together. Y'all understand that? Okay. I guess we can wrap this up by saying the importance of studying the types. That's on the last page of the notes. The Christ is portrayed in the lives of the Old Testament saints. He's portrayed in the tabernacle of Moses, the feasts of Israel, the priesthood of Aaron, the priesthood of Melchizedek, and we can go on. Christ is found in all of these things in the Old Testament. Now, as I said at the beginning of the class, every New Testament doctrine, we need to go to the Old Testament to understand it. And all of these doctrines, be it salvation by grace, justification by faith, any doctrine that you want. If you want to talk about the incarnation, you want to talk about the deity of Christ or the humanity of Christ, any one of these doctrines, they are made reference to in the Old Testament, at least some form or fashion, no matter how brief or minor the reference is, in the whole of the Old Testament. You could find everything that Christ did and everything he has for the church in the Old Testament. You can also find it in the five books of the Law of Moses. Maybe just a brief reference, but it's there. You can find also, if you look closer, God narrows it down. You can find everything about the Lord in the book of Genesis. You can also find it, if you look harder, in the first 12 chapters of Genesis. And I didn't write it down, but I believe that you could show that most of the things, the high points, in the gospel story and the doctrines that we, the New Testament doctrines we have, I believe if you look, just as you mentioned earlier during the break, brother, that if you look in the creation account, the first chapter of Genesis, you will find our New Testament doctrine. So to ignore the Old Testament or to downplay it, we make a big mistake. And as like we said, quite a number of different churches, denominations, and fellowships, they get into error. Remember David Koresh? Well, he didn't interpret the Bible right. The denomination that he was from, they don't understand the Bible that well. They don't understand it by looking at the Old Testament and getting every jot and tittle in place as it's very, very evidently taught. They don't understand the Old Testament, they messed up. They have the New Testament doctrine wrong. And unfortunately, and they're not happy about it, but one of the products of misinterpreting the Bible, people like David Koresh. We need to take the Bible as a whole, and we need to spend time in the Old Testament. You cannot understand the New Testament correctly without a proper understanding of the Old. But we do have a guarantee that if we will allow God to show us not only the New, but the Old Testament as well, if we will let Him deal with our heart, as we've said, then the Lord will be able to lead us into all truth, just as he said. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God is able, if we will let the word of God speak to us, the whole of it, and not interpret it according to what our denomination says, but let it instead show us how we ought to believe. God will lead us into all truth. One last thought, that Christ is portrayed both accurately and fully in the Old Testament, and in a major way, he does so in Titus.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.